This past Shabbos, we learned Parshas Maaseh, which tells us the different stations that Klal Yisrael went through in the Midbar, and a few places in the Maaseis, the Torah tells us different incidents that happened. And Rav Shimon Schwab in his Sefer Mayim Beis HaShoyeva asks that if we look at the different incidents that the Torah tells us about the Maaseis, the Torah leaves out many significant incidents. But a few minor, if you could say it, relatively minor incidents, the Torah tells us. Why does the Torah skip Kriyas Yamsuf, Mayim HaSinai, the Mishkan? Why does the Torah skip the main incidents that happen? And the Torah only tells us just a few seemingly relatively insignificant incidents. And Rav Schwab brings down Rashi. Rashi brings down a Medrash Tanchuma, Moshe LeMelech Shehoya B'noi Choyla. It was a Moshe to a king that his son was sick. And he took him to a faraway place to get him a refuah. On the way back, the father went through all the different places that they went through. Here we slept. Here we cooled off. Over here you had a headache. Zot Rav Shimon Schwab, that when the Torah is telling us what happened by the Maaseis, the Torah is not just telling us all the incidents that happened, but the Torah is telling us, describing to us, that in this place you could have woken up, you could have grown, you could have been inspired. But kan yoshananu, instead of growing and instead of being inspired, we slept. Kan hikarnu, instead of warming up, we were cold. Kan chishashta shoyshacha, over here we lost a roish, we lost some roshim of Klal Yisrael, and we weren't inspired, and we didn't learn from the incident. We gather here today to go over a few points that maybe when we had Rav Nosson Sholem HaKoyim with us, maybe as Yoshananu, Haikarnu, there was so much to learn up, and we didn't take advantage of the example that we had to learn up from. But now, as we go over those Maaseis, the different points of his life, and the different points that we could learn up from, now is the time that we could, in retrospect, we could grow and we could be inspired. I think that if we have to zero in on a point, there's a paragraph that Rabbi Yerucham Levovitz in his Sefer Das Chochma Al Musar, he describes people, and then he describes a person that's different. And I have a translation of that paragraph, and I think it touches up very clearly who Rav Nosson Sholem was. When a person is born, he finds the world in a certain organized fashion. As he grows up, he tries to adjust himself to the assumptions that are accepted in the world. He views each event that occurs with the same perspective as the other people of his generation. These perspectives originated in the past and have been handed down from parents to children. These assumptions are taken for granted to such an extent that most people react to the accepted perspective of the world as if they were laws of the universe that cannot be changed. They are accepted as reality and are not challenged. Only a small minority of people obtain the necessary wisdom to look at the world with complete objectivity. They take a critical look at each and everything and try to understand everything as it really is, instead of accepting the general prevalent outlook. Those who try to investigate the origin of every perspective will perceive everything in a much different light than is commonly accepted. If we have to touch up Rav Nosson Sholem HaKohen, I think these words touch him up so accurately. Most of us come into the world and we just take things for granted. If this is the way it is, this is the way it's supposed to be. If this is the way I am, this is the way I'm supposed to be. If there's a problem, it must be that that's the way it's going to be. Rav Nosson Sholem HaKohen was different. There was nothing that he took for granted. There is nothing that he didn't sit and think through to see if maybe there's a chance that it could be different. Most of us, after we reach the age of 25, we just take ourselves for granted. If this is the way we are, this is the way we're going to be. But he was different. Just because I was like that when I was 30, it doesn't mean that I have to be like that when I'm 40. It doesn't mean that I can't start changing when I'm 45 and I can't grow and take off. Those who knew him were able to testify that he took off in a way that was completely unnatural for a person 40 to 45. He grew in Ruchnius. He grew in Chesed. He grew in Torah. He grew in Avodah. And he grew in Amunah. A balabas, many balabatim look at themselves. What am I capable? I'm capable of being kaveh itim la Torah. But to be a rangaton in learning, to be involved in learning, that's something that's reserved for a yeshiva bacha, for a kollel younger man. Rav Nosson Sholem HaKohen to sit here every afternoon with a consistency that was never broken. Every afternoon you were able to see him over here learning with his chavrusa. And his chavrusa told me that one time they learned a piece in a sefer, a difficult piece. And later on that day, this chavrusa went and he was going shopping in Evergreen. And he met Rav Nosson Sholem over there, holding flowers in one hand and a full shopping cart in the other. And he's thinking about something. He picks his head up and he sees his chavrusa. He says, "You know, that piece that we learned today, I don't understand it completely. I'm just thinking about it. Tell me it again." That he's busy shopping and he's thinking about a piece in a sefer. A rangaton and a piece in a sefer. That's a growing person. Many times we approach learning and it's difficult. We slack off. It's hard. It's difficult. By him, it was just the opposite. If a piece of Gemara was difficult, that was a reason to learn it once, again, and again, and again, and again, 10 times, 20 times, until he had it clear. By him, emes was the first and last thing that he thought about. If something was difficult, it wasn't negeya. If it's emes, that's what has to be done. There was a time that he was learning halacha, and he came across a halacha that if you work after Friday, if you work Erev Shabbos, after Chatzos, you're not going to see a Simen Bracha from it. See, he said to his Chavrusa, I should work and I shouldn't gain anything from it? Why am I working? From that day on, he stopped working after Chatzos on Erev Shabbos. And instead of working after Chatzos, he was Keveya himself a Chavrusa. And they learned before Shabbos, a half an hour, three quarters of an hour. Because if the emes is that he's not going to make profit, it might be hard, but it's not negeya. If it's not emes, it's not negeya. Just because that's the way I always do, and that's the way many people do, it's not negeya. I think things through from the beginning. And if the way I see it now, it doesn't fit, then there's no reason for me to go ahead and keep on doing it. But it wasn't only in learning. When he saw an opportunity, it was once a very interesting episode. He heard about something that is possible to have an animal that you won't have to shecht, and the animal will be totally kosher. If you take an animal out of its mother and you breed it and you grow it, and he held that maybe if people will be able to eat such an animal, more people will be able to eat kosher. Without going into the protein, he researched it. He called up the person in Australia. He spoke to Rav Moshe Heineman. He did research. And he was ready to have a whole farm full of these ben pekuas. Who ever thought of it? Nobody does it. But just because nobody does it, it doesn't mean if that's the way I think, and that's the way it's going to benefit people, and they're going to start eating kosher because of it, why shouldn't I do it? And then there was chesed. And like he said, once told someone, chesed is my thing. When he saw an opportunity to be able to help someone, he became shikr. It was just like he finally found it, the greatest enjoyment. He saw a situation that he could be machazik, boys that were going through a difficult time. And he opened up a home for them. And he invested time and energy and money. And every day he used to go to make them breakfast, that they should feel that it's a home and that he's involved. And then he heard that maybe some boys would benefit by having horseback riding. And he found a house with horses. It's difficult. But if this is what it takes, that's what I'm going to do. He realized that there are many Koyle Yungalite. And from time to time need to borrow money, and they have to go to a Gemach and borrow money, and they have to obtain a Ravim, and it's a whole tedious process. He decided that he's going to make a Gemach, that you should be able to borrow money, no questions asked. And he gave $10,000 to a Gemach. And he didn't want to have any chelik, no name, no recognition. And then he gave another $10,000. And he gave it to somebody to take care of, nobody should know that it came from him. A Gemach is something that we hear of. But then one time in his driveway, he had an extra car. And he told his chavrusa, you know, I have an extra car. What am I going to do with it? I think I'm going to make a car Gemach. Anybody who wants to borrow a car could come and borrow the car. And his chavrusa had to convince him out of it. It's not practical. What kind of insurance he going to get? How is it going to work? But that was him. And finally, in the last Kufa, there's a pasuk in Parashas Vayeschanan. Hashoma om koel elikim midaber mitecha eish kasher shamata ata vayechi. Is there any nation that heard the Rabbeinu Shloim speaking to them from a fire? Like you, Klal Yisrael, heard the Eibishter speaking to you from Har Sinai, from a fire. Vayechi, and it caused you life. But Ramei Shapiro, Zechayna Levracha, teaches up the pasuk a little differently. Hashoma om koel elikim medaber mitecha eish. Was there another nation that was zoicha to hear the Rabbeinu Shloim speak to them mitecha eish, with fire, through Yisurim, through treatments, mitecha eish kasher shamata ata vayechi. Just like you, Klal Yisrael, you're able to hear the Dvar Hashem mitecha eish, and you realize that the eish is not a coincidence. The eish is the Dvar Hashem, and from that you get life. Throughout his machla and his treatments, Rav Nosson Sholem HaKoyen understood that every step of the way, every treatment, every disappointment was a Dvar Hashem. And from that, he came Vayechi. He got life. He was extremely positive. I heard by the Shiva that there was one time that he was in such terrible Yisurim. And he said to the people that were around him, it's a win-win situation. If he's going to recover, of course it's a win. And if Chas V'Sholom Fakert, he's in such terrible Yisurim that he knows if he doesn't recover, he goes straight to Gan Eden. So whichever way, whatever is going to be the future, it's a win-win situation. When we go to visit, we go to a kever, the minig is, before we leave, we put a little stone on the kever. And I saw Rabbi Reuven Feinstein says, could be others say it also, that a person after he's nifter, he doesn't have the ability to grow, doesn't have the ability to do mitzvahs. But if we connect to the lesson that he taught us, if we learn from his example, if we're able to grow from what he grew from. So then it's not only a matzeva, it doesn't stay, it keeps on growing, there's another stone and another stone. And that's what we have to do today. We have to remember and bring up the zichronos that we had of him and learn from them and become different and think things through and not just accept things for what they are, but think them through and see if things could change, and if we can make a difference. If we can make a difference in our own lives, if we can make a difference in other people's lives. And every difference that we incorporate in our own life is another stone on his matzeva. The Eibishter zal helfen that we should be zoicha to learn up from his lesson. And he should be oschus and Emel Yosha for his wonderful family. Ubila Hamovas Lanetsa Hamoha Hashem Elikim Dimo.
Harav Yitzchak Adler Shlita. Rishus Moda Asra, Rishus Rabbanim, Rishus HaMishpacha, Rishus HaKohol, Shindalad Mem, Mitzvah Gedola LaHaspid Alameis Koroi, Umitzvaso Sheroim Kolo Lomar Olov Devorim HaMishabim Es Alev De LaHarbot Pechia ULaHazkir Shvacho. It is thence that we gather here. You will hear much about the great practical things that Nassim Shalom HaKohen did. I would like in the next few moments to try to view the basis of his makeup. So that, in some sense, perhaps, we will feel the immensity and the enormity of the loss. Nassim Shalom HaKohen was Nasa Be'emuna, Kvatid Bna Torah, Asa Gepira Rivya, Tzbisali Yeshua, Pepalta B'chachma. He was a family man. He loved his wife and his children. He cared for them completely and entirely. And in every one of these aspects, he shares probably with 99% of the people in this room concord and commonality. The question is, what made him different and unique? And to do that, I would like to divide his life into two parts. Part A was how we knew Nasi as he lived with us. Part B is how we learned to know Nasi as he was leaving us. Part one, as he lived with us. His life, Nasi, his being, was made up of three components. Component number one. Nasi used to come to the Beis Medrash to ask me an argument he had with his chavrusa on the Beis Yosef and Mishnah Berurah, and also to run by me all of his great, tremendous ideas about how to change the world, as you just heard. I was not that keen a believer. In fact, most of the time, as his family knows, I tried to dissuade him from the things he was doing. I told him, listen, why involve yourself in things where the statistical possibility of being successful is so small? Spend your time learning Torah. One day, he came to the Beis Midrash, after perhaps he spoke to very well, and he had a tremendous idea. He had a smile on his face. He said, I'm going to change the world. I have decided what I'm going to do with my life. I'm going to service the entire Jewish population with what they really need by supplying them an unending supply of sirloin steaks, for which he was going to open a Ben Pekua farm. I calmed him down, and we sat, and the rest of the afternoon we worked, learned through Simu Samache with the Dake Chuvas, and of course, at the end of that session, he realized it's quite complex and not that simple that it can actually be done. And then he turns to me and he says, Rabbi Adler, lately, last few years, you haven't dissuaded me of the things I'm doing. Did you stop loving me? So I sat for another 10 minutes and told him the following. Chazal described Torah as Torah's emes. Pia pascha v'chochma v'soras chesed al hashona. Chazal described Torah as Torah's chesed. We know, of course, famous Hakdoma, the Ketos HaChoshen, where he tries to analyze the difference between these two Torahs. So I explained to Nasi, this is how I see it. Torah's MS is Torah that is studied when a person sits down, accumulates vast knowledge, systematizes, categorizes, reconciles all the steers, moves in life to great heights, to a point that he understands things with absolute clarity. At that point, this Torah learning becomes exclusionary. Most people can't ever reach that point. It's not necessarily relevant. You're discussing theoretics, and the theoretics don't have to be practical. And then there's Torah's Chesed, quite different. Torah's Chesed is practical. It's pertinent. It has to be applicable. And it's true absolute Torah in the same sense. But it has immediate use. Both Torahs use the vehicle of speech. Torah's Emes speaks to the mind. Torah's Chesed speaks to the mind and to the heart. Their actions are not only different, their reactions are different. A true Torah's Emes person finds out that someone, Chas V'Sholom, has been over a chet. He reacts. His reaction is tochacha, rebuke. A Torah's Chesed person hears a bechet, and his reaction is bechia. He's broken. Everyone has a little bit of both in them. Some people, the balance is not equal. Nasi, I have come to learn that you are a true Torah's Chesed person. And I didn't understand it as clearly in the years past, maybe 20 years ago. But this is who you are, complete and total Torah's Chesed. And therefore, I don't speak about your interests and other interests. That's who you are. You understand Torah's Chesed. You relate to it, you feel for the people, and that is how you should spend your life. Not for me any longer to question. Component number two. People have inertia. I used to dive in a place where a person used to ask me every day whether his tefillin is in the right place, and it wasn't. So I told him, I'll be happy to change the kesher for you. I moved, came back a year later, his tefillin is still not in the right place. I go to someone on my block and the mezuzah is in the wrong place. I tell him, I'll change it for you. I come back to the house a year later, it's still in the wrong place. Nasi was Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon HaKohen Vayikach Romach b'yodo. He had a kahuna heritage on which he understood that he was an advocate. He was an activist. He was an actualizer. He did things. He was not a behind-the-line spectator watching the world go by. If something had to be done, he would do it. That's component two. Component three. By ancestral descent and as a result of the moment of his inception, Nasi was a monk. Now, a monk is a very special family. Now, I'm not talking just about the parents. I'm going back many generations. I believe that on the chromosomal strands, there will be a gene. It is called the Munkian gene. And if you have it, you are a member of this family. Now, what is it? Hard to describe. The best way to get to know it is to live with the monks. I have lived across the street from the monks for 25 years. If you'd ask me to try to generally describe it, I would say it's a behavioral pattern which is constantly and continually in flux. It never stops. It's a little different. It's a little distinct. You get the unexpected and the unpredictable. It's spirited. It's vibrant. And it has a vivid passion for Torah and for life. And you're thinking out of the box or beyond the box. An amazing trait that some people have. Most importantly, you're colorful, you're chromatic. You cannot be easily contained. And this was the third component in Nasi's life. He was made of a fabric woven from a Torah's chesed person, which perhaps is also part of his heritage, or of his abrios. Component number two was his ability to be an activist. And component number three, his special quality. And he took all this. He took his chesed and his propulsion to act and channeled it through that special moon quality. And he became a person who cannot be reproduced and is irreplaceable. And it's that being that we recognize at this moment. The second part of his life, as we got to know him when he was leaving us. I used to visit him in the hospital the last time in his house. Towards the end, when I saw him in the hospital, the last time I was in the hospital, I come into his room, and as Rabbi Wilner so beautifully said, he's telling me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, and he's watching him, and taking the best care of him. So I say, I understand. You know the brachas, the Gemara and brachas, and Daf Yud Beis. Okay. Al nichlas avakir, don't sit down. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting. Mirah Shosav. And he keeps on talking and telling me how everyone's telling me everything is okay, and one of them come to him and he did tell him he's going to get out of his bed. It's got to be so long because Baruch really loves him so much. And at one moment, I broke. I said, Nasi, wait a minute. Look at yourself. You're so sick. You're less than half the size you used to be. Everything is going downhill. Nothing has worked out. You have to be a realist. What do you think is going on here? You're so sick. Why don't you stop for a minute and tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's next to you and tell him, wait a minute, this is not working out. Maybe you should change my medication. Maybe you should change my doctor. This is not the way things are supposed to be. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting there, ask him. He keeps on speaking this way. I couldn't understand it. Left his room. I'm crying. And then I call his family. His wife speaks this way. His children speak this way. How? How? How could you have such a disconnect? So I'll try to explain it to you very briefly. We live in this world because there is a perceived cosmic order. We think the world continues with direction. And so, we go to bed every morning and we believe the sun will shine. And when we take out our car, we think it'll, with our key, it'll start the engine which will take us to shul. And if we go to work and our pencil point breaks, we think walking over to the sharpener will sharpen our pencil. But we know it's all not true. It's just an illusion. Mechadesh b'chol yom tamid ma'aseh bereishis. There is no cosmic order. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just every single second puts everything in order. Like the Medrash says, every Esev has a malach for it to grow. But it doesn't look that way. And so we think there's some kind of cosmic order. If we would understand it, we'd know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu just was 1 inch off on the centripetal and centrifugal force. You go to bed at night and you would end up the next day in a different universe. Every once in a while, we kind of get reminded that things aren't in such order. Maybe one day you walk out to your front lawn and that beautiful tree no longer has leaves, but instead grows $100 bills. Wow, that's disorder. Great. That's an ace, and you know exactly what to do with an ace. Sometimes the disorder is not so favorable. Sickness, we call that chaos. It's not chaos. It's exactly the same as every other event in the world. Philosophically, it's exactly the same. Now, how do you relate to it? So Nasi sits there and he tells me everything is fine, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking care of him. Now, he doesn't say this from a fatalistic point of view. You may say, what else should he say? He couldn't do anything about it. No one could do anything about it. People have a submission to the inevitable because they're fatalists. What can you do? That's not the way he or his family ever expressed it. It came from the depth of their heart because of the following. When people are thrown into chaos, the natural reaction is that you're so absorbed with what's going on that there's nothing else you can do. You got to worry about your sickness. You got to worry about your family. You have to worry about your doctors and your care. You have no strength to survive. And the absorption, and these things for which you have a right to be absorbed, do not allow you to see the world a certain way. The godless of Nasi was that he didn't allow these terrible aspects of his disease to blur the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was by his side. He somehow retained a clarity of vision that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was here, and he could touch him, and he could see him, and he was 100% confident. That through this prolonged illness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had accompanied him and, if necessary, would escort him to Shemei Shemai. It's a sad moment. Saddest, of course, for the Munk family, his wife and children, his parents, his brothers, his friends who he loved so much. There's a Munk gene, there's a Munk clan. And everyone in his family, for these years and months and days, did everything in their power for him. He was on their mind every single second. They cannot question anything they did. They did everything that was humanly possible to do for his benefit. And now the Munk family, it's not broken, but it's ruptured. Severely ruptured. One member of your family is not here. A puzzle piece is gone. Those are the Devarim HaMeshabmes Alev K'del Habos V'Bechir. And we know from the reaction of the entire Munk family that they know exactly what they have to do. These are the types of events that try and test the soul and the neshama and emuna of every family. And we're absolutely certain that their reaction will not only be that they will be able to retain their tremendous emunah b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, but no doubt this event, as it continues through their life, will strengthen their keshev to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chaval al da'avadin, meis echad me'achavura, yidag, כל החבורה, פילה עמו וסונצח, ומוכה השם אלוקים דימו מהקופונים.
Back to Yonis and Ellis.
When I moved to Muncie, someone came over to me in the morning after Shachris, and he said, "I didn't realize you had family in Muncie. I met your brother last night." I didn't want to tell him I don't have any brothers. He said, "I met Nasi, your brother." Nasi was my brother. A few minutes before now, I was trying to work out exactly when I first met him. So just before I get back for myself, so I go back from work, I look back to see, to find my oldest emails that we emailed each other. I found an email from August 2006. I was a doctor in Manhattan at the time. I was living there with my wife, and I sent him an email saying, "Do you mind if we come for Rosh Hashanah?" And he emailed me back, and he said, "I have no idea where I'm going to be for Rosh Hashanah, but since we're family, we'll be together." And just before I forget, I just wanted to, looking through those emails, I was emailing back, it was not negeh, it was a private hashkafic shy that I was having, and I was asking him his advice. And I saw his email today, and it just reminded me, and he said, "You're 100% negeh b'davar." His advice to me was, surround yourself with your friends and your family that care for you, and find Das Torah. I met Nasi about 12 years ago. It was my first week in Monsi. It was my first week at Yeshiva. It was my first Shabbos. I came from London, to Osamech, and we had to organize somewhere to eat for the first Shabbos, and I'm sure family remember. The whole thing was very peculiar for me to go for Shabbos by someone I never met before. And I turned up in the house 12 years ago. I'm trying to speak up. And something happened. I don't know what it was, but what I saw there, I guess everyone who knows him here, the words are irrelevant, they're useless, they won't explain what I'm talking about. But I saw a vibrance, I saw a passion, it's words we've all said before here. I saw Simchas HaChaim, I've never seen such a thing, and I was drawn to that. And I came back every Shabbos. For years. Came back for every Yom Tov with my family. And probably because I was a doctor, I was very much involved with whatever, what was going on over the past year. And I don't really think it's so negeh, but all I can tell you right now is that what I saw over the past 8 months, I've never seen. I saw the same Simchas HaChaim, and I saw the same vibrance and passion that I saw that first Shabbos when he was sitting at his table in Marin Away. I saw 2 hours before he was niftar in the ICU in Mount Sinai. The same person. At his core, if I was to say what was his core, it wasn't himself. He had no self. It was Hashem. It was what was most important to Hashem, was other Yidden. He was always thinking about other Yidden. One Maisa I'll share was the Erev Shabbos just over a month ago now. We were in the hospital. He was in the emergency department. And he just got intubated. He couldn't breathe. I'm telling you, I should stop. Leave it. What? From a doctor's point, I was looking at him, and his blood pressure was dropping. He was so sick. And it doesn't make sense to me. He was totally 100% with it. And at some point, he's mouthing, he's trying desperately to try to communicate with us. I don't know what it is, and he's calling me, and I'm trying as a friend, as a doctor, how can I help you? What is it? Are you in pain? You need more sedation? You're uncomfortable? And he's trying to say something, and we're sitting around, and he's sitting there, and he manages to mouth around the tube. And he says, "Go home for Shabbos." That was who he was at his core. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about other people. So many things I could want to say. I couldn't help but notice that the Parsha, Parsha's Chukas. Shabbos, he was just when he was Nifta. Parsha was just Parsha's Masai. Yeah. Yesterday was Rish Chodesh Av. Talks about the Patira of Aaron, Aaron HaKohen. Rish Chodesh Av was the outside of Aaron HaKohen. I can't think of a Chazal that personified him more than the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos when it says Hillel says you should be Talmid of Aaron HaKohen. Oyev Shalom, Roidev Shalom, Oyev Esabri is a Makar Vamater. For me, this is who he was. He personified Shalom in so many ways. He was not just Shalom with other people, something that was very unique and something that I gleaned from him. He was Shalom with himself. He was totally comfortable with who he was. He was Makas Makoima. He knew who he was. He knew his strengths. He knew his weaknesses. And with that, he strived to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He strived to develop a better relationship. He always told me, be yourself. He always told me. I'm sure people say the same. This was his message to me. Don't try to imitate anybody. Take your kochos and serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with them. These are mine. Someone said, oh, before he said chesed to me. He took so many things, I'm sure we'll see from other people who knew. But that's what he told me. That's what he gave over to me. Be at ease, be comfortable with yourself. Everything he did was, there was no, it wasn't with attention, it was just himself. He just wanted to get better. He wanted to grow. And he did it with simcha. Very happy with who he was and just always pursuing the emes. We say in the Mishnah, Oyev es habriyos. It's interesting. Russian, we don't always refer to people as brios. Oyevus. Why didn't say Oyevus kol adam? I was once walking with him. One of his nakudos for me was he had a limitless love for people. I never saw it. He loved everybody. And we crossed paths, not Nagaya, I don't remember exactly who it was, but somebody who wasn't, I'd say, exactly his Mahal Chachayim. He was an Ish. Chesed an Ish Emes. And I said to him, does it irritate you? Does it bother you? And I remember him telling me very clearly. He said, Hashem created me this way. Hashem created him that way. I have my strengths, I have my weaknesses, he has his strengths and his weaknesses. And I believe that's what Pshat in the Mishnah is. He told me that, his life. Oyev es habriyos, how'd you come to love everybody? Know their briyos, know their creations. Know everyone's being created by a perfect creator. I'm going to end soon. We had a personal minhag, a ritual. Every Purim we'd give each other brachas. We managed somehow or other, I'd come, he'd come to my house, we'd, on the phone if it wasn't the gear. And this year he was in the hospital just until Purim. And I got to the end of Purim, so busy with everything else, I didn't get my bracha. So I called him, I said, Nasi. He said, come round now. So I came round to his house. And he gave me a bracha. It was different than any other bracha that I've had over the past 12 years. And he said to me, Johnny, as he called me affectionately, he said, Johnny, my bracha to you is, there's going to be times in life that things won't go to plan. And there are going to be times that things don't go as expected. And there'll be difficult times. But my bracha to you is just to know that it's all from Hashem. Hashem's with you, and he's doing the best for you. This wasn't the plan. This wasn't what we had expected. This is very difficult. But Hashem's with us, and this is what Hashem wanted, and this is what Nasi believed in, taught us. His signature, anyone who heard him speak, his signature opening was always, Hodil Hashem ki tov ki lo olam chasdei. That's how he started every speech. So I'll follow in his footsteps and say, Hodil Hashem ki tov ki lo olam chasdei. Zoche to see true Simchas HaChaim. I was zoche to have a friend, a brother. I was zoche to see Shalom Ba'atzmoy, Im Atzmoy, Shalom Im Hashem, Shalom Im Chavirov. So Chesed. I saw what a Baal Chesed was. I saw what Avos Chesed was. I saw unwavering Amunah. Life definitely will not be the same without him. But we hope that having heard what we've heard and seen what we've seen, that the way we live our lives won't ever be the same without having known him.
Baruch Mark.
I sat down today to put my thoughts in order, to figure out what I'm going to speak about and what direction I'm going to go in. I came upon two things. One was, who was my father to me, and who was my father? I'm going to try to explain who my father was by explaining who my father was to me. I sat down, I opened up my notebook, I took out my pen, and I said, I have to think back to what's the first memory I have of my father that stands out different than the rest of them. And I was thinking, you know, in Muncie, when we came to Muncie, and a story came through my mind. I couldn't have been older than 5 years old. We were living in Flatbush. And I used to wake up at very early hours of the night, the morning, to hearing my father going down the hall and the door closing, the front door closing behind him, and I knew that he was running out on another Atzalah call. And the second I heard that door close, I'd be out to the front window to watch him pulling away. And there was one story that stuck out of my mind. This is pretty much the only story that stuck out of my mind, was I heard him down the hall, I heard him out the front door, I went to the window, and I looked out the window, and I couldn't believe it was snowing. It was a big snowstorm. And I see him coming down, and I don't think he was expecting it. And he ran across the front, small yard, to his car, and he starts cleaning off his car. And he finally gets the car clean, and then he gets in his car, and he starts his car up, and he starts backing out of the driveway. And as he's backing out, a snowplow drives down the street and puts up a small wall of snow by the driveway. And I remember just watching it, and what was he going to do? I'm not sure what was going on in the car, but he pulled his car back up and shut his car. He got out, and he walked up to the street, and he was waiting for either somebody else or a friend or who was also going on the telecall to come pick him up. And the car comes down the street and passes right by him, and he tried to stop the car. It didn't work. And only after that did he turn around and come back into the house, and he saw me standing there, and he put me back to sleep. That story came across my mind because we heard a lot of things tonight and over the Shiva, that my father was a man of chesed. He would do anything for anyone who came, everyone who was in his life. He would go beyond to do something for them. I think I always looked at it as he went on a telecalls and the excitement of it, not realizing that at 4 o'clock in the morning on a snowy morning, after he was snowed in, that he was still trying to get to go help somebody. And only after the second attempt, or whatever attempt it was, didn't work, was then he said something that stood out to me. That was my first memory. I'm going to continue with another story, which is a very personal story to me. When I was 12 years old, living in Muncie, I was going through a very difficult time. We were dealing with it. It was back and forth with my father. And I remember one day he came to yeshiva. He pulled me out and told me he wanted to talk to me. He brought me to our Rudinsky's shul down the block. And he told me, I remember he sat me down. And I wasn't sure why I was being pulled out of yeshiva, what was going on. He told me, Baruch, in life, sometimes you're walking down the street. And you're walking down the street and life's going on, and then you hit a wall. You have a choice. Choice number one is to go around the wall. What if the wall is across the whole street? You have another choice. You can climb over the wall. He said, and there's some people that see the wall and they turn around, they go back and they say, there was a wall. He said, but there's also another option. The option is to bust through that wall. Whatever we were dealing with, he told me, Baruch, we're going to bust through this wall. And we did. And that was the moment. That was, and we worked it out, and he pulled it off. But that lesson stuck with me forever. He was a forward man. He always wanted to work it out, figure out a way of how do we move forward? How do we make this work? With whatever it is going on, that we're going to do what's right to make sure that this works. Lastly, he loved us so much. And he had many different ways of showing us this. And I just want to touch on one point that was a recent conversation I had with him that just reminded me of in my face. It came up tonight, but we've heard also from Shiva that my father every night would come to the shul and had a chavrusa that he took extremely serious and it was on the top of his priority list. Over the last 8 months, with the circumstances that were going on, being in the hospital, other appointments, he wasn't showing up as often as he would like. And he didn't like that. And he mentioned to me, we were already back at the beginning of this year, you know, do you have any interest in learning with Rabbi Noble at night? I said, I do. I very much do. So you should give him a call and, you know, set it up. And I remember specifically after having that conversation, that I spent that night in the hospital. And I remember being there late the next day. And then I remember coming back that night. And it just didn't happen. I got a call from Rabbi Noble. He said, maybe you have an interest in learning. And I do. I very much do. I assume that there was no coincidence there. And shortly after, we ended up setting up a time, and I would come here, and I would learn with Rabbi Noble. And this set time, for a certain amount of time. And it was good. I was showing up, and one night I would tell him, Rabbi Noble, I can't make it tonight. I'm going to be in the hospital tonight. And the next night I was there. And towards the end, it started not happening as often because of the circumstances of traveling back and forth and other things that were going on. I remember sitting with him last week in the room on the main floor, and he asked me, he said, Baruch, how's it going with Rabbi Noble? I told him, I said, it's, you know, I've said I'm traveling back and forth in the hospital, I'm busy with whatever other things that he knew I was busy with. I said, I'm staying over at night. I said, it's, you know, it's tough. And he looked at me and he said, ah, I know what you mean. I know it's a hard thing to do. The time, the concentration, the consistency. But you gotta do it. It's tough, but it's the right thing to do. I remember him telling me that you'd sometimes go from the office and not come home and go straight to learn. And that lesson, it always stuck out with me, and I experienced it firsthand in the last few months of it might be tough and it might not be so convenient and it might take hard work but it's the right thing to do. And he lived by that example. And that specific thing I was able to actually experience and appreciate it. Johnny mentioned, you know, he started his speech or started his talks or with Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov. We'd come back from a family trip or some sort of adventure or something that we were doing, which was fun and exciting, and we all had a good day, a good time, a good week. And he would sing this same old song, Hod L'Hashem Ki Tov, over and over, and want us to join in. At the end of the trip, when everyone was tired of going home, he got us all to join and sing that. Because it wasn't enough for him. He wanted it on us as well. He wanted to share it with us. I'm just going to finish with one thing. I know that a couple months back, the Rav called my father, Erev Shabbos, I believe it was, to see if I believe there was anything he can do or see what's going on. And the Rav got up to speak that Shabbos and said that he spoke with my father and he wanted to know, you know, what's going on and what he can do. And my father wanted to pass on a message to his friends. He said, take 60 seconds out of your day to thank Hashem for what you have, for the job that you have, for your health, for your family. And I remember sitting in my seat and thinking, like, I knew he was going to say it, but it hit me then. He didn't want anything. But he was giving it over. And this was what was important. And that's how we lived every day. He chose this shul and he chose this community. And I want to just finish with saying thank you to everybody in this community for everything that has been done that I know about, and I'm also aware of the fact that I don't know. He used to tell me all the time, get a message to my friends. Get a message to all my friends in the shul. To all my friends, this is what's going on, or this is the update. should share in Simchas. We should hear only of Simchas. We should join. And hear only good things to come from here on. My father was one of the most connected people that I've ever known. But he wasn't connected to money or power or influence. He was connected to life and everything in life that makes a person truly alive. Throughout Shiva and tonight, we've heard all the chesed and all the projects, all the outreach that my father was involved with. And it's true, my father was a person who loved chesed. But I think we could say more than that. My father wasn't just a person who loved chesed. My father was a gadol of chesed. And opening arena was one of the things he was most proud of. And it was an amazing thing. But I think his godless was that you could find him there 8 o'clock in the morning with a smile on his face, making eggs for the guys. And he let it be known that there was nowhere else that he'd want to be. That's what he wanted to be doing. And that connected with people. I remember the story, which I don't think it was shared during Shiva, and it also brings out his godless, that he wanted to be hands-on with the chesed, not in the background. He didn't need the limelight, but he wanted to be hands-on. About 10 years ago, maybe a little more, he was got involved with the organization Sheres HaPleita. And what they would do is, after a full day of work, he would come back. He had his chavrusa. After his chavrusa, they would get in a van, go either to Manhattan or wherever they had a big wedding or a big event. And what he had set up was that they would take all the leftover food. And they're showing up at a wedding after the main course is served, with it's late already, schlepping out all these pans into a van. Come out with 30 pans more. They bring it back to Muncie. They'd unload it into the house where they had a fridge or people waiting, where they would divide it up into individual portions. And if I remember correctly, we would go out. I think they had 50 hungry families who would come pick up this food. And that was my father. He wanted to be there schlepping pans at 12:30 at night. One thing to write a check, it's another thing to be schlepping a pan at 12:30 at night. That was the godless of my father. If my father was here, I think he would want one thing said. And about 2 months ago, I was staying with one night in the hospital. And it was late at night, and it got very busy. There's nurses coming in, medication, he was getting blood, he wanted something to eat. And for 15 minutes, it was very busy. Once it quieted down, I was about to go sit back down, and I see it looks like my father's crying. So I go stand next to him, ask him, "Dad, is everything okay?" He looks at me. He says, "I'm so lucky." I go, "I didn't know." I said, "Well, what are you talking about?" He says, "I know someone who's in a similar matzav as me, but for whatever reason, they're keeping it to themselves, just this man and his wife, and that's the only ones who know, and they're dealing with it themselves." He's like, "And me? I have the greatest care in the world. Mommy's 24/7 care with Baruch, siblings, Opa and Oma. And all the neighbors, the shul, the rabbanim." And he told me that it really put him at ease, that he was able to now focus on what he needed to focus on, fighting and getting better. And he didn't have to worry about what was going on at home. Is there food? Is no food? He'll have to get around. And he had so much hakaras hatayif, it brought him to tears. And I know he would want to express here to all the people who were involved, all the phone calls that he got, he didn't answer, but he saw them, and it meant so much to him. All the chizuk he got for us and the family, for all the food that was made for us, we still talk about some of the suppers. And on behalf of him and on behalf of me, to my friends, Meir Baim, who helped me through this year, wanted to express our hakaras hatayif. We have a monk minhag that at the end of a simcha or end of a yontif, we say, "Noidal avar mispala asid." And even though it's not a simcha, we did not get the refuah shlema we desperately wanted, but still, I think we could look back and there's so much to be thankful for. So, saw the Yad Hashem through every step of the way. Through individually, we all grew. And as a family, we all grew closer. And we learned so much. And that, we could say, thank you to the Rabbanu Shalom. I'd like to end the tefillah. And we only hear good news going forward. So share in simchas and see the gula. Remember, Remainu.
Rav Yisrael David Schlesinger.
Birshus der Mora de Asre Schlitte Tayre Bnei u Bnei Samishpoche Achashuve Kol Echod ve Echod Bishmoy Atoy Vivoyroch Kol Akol Akodosh Hazeh In diesem Zichdut zusammengekommen, we gathered here tonight Le'oireir divrei hesped Le'zichroi ve'ilui nishmosoi Fina chaver in ha'yedid Vus mekenish vergessen Reb Nosson Sholem Olav HaSholem Ben Reb Yehuda Sheyichye Us mit a knappe Chodesh Tzirik Is Neshome Is Zirigangen zu de Kisse HaKovid And as we stand in those days in the year when we hope every minute and every second to be zoiche to the nevuah of Der Novi Zecharia, koi omar Hashem tzvokos tzoyim revi v'tzoyim chamishi v'tzoyim shvi v'tzoyim asiri yie lebeis Yehuda lesosayin ulesimche ulmoyadim toivim. Obetaye rebride, the pasuk doesn't end here. There's another three words to this pasuk. V'ho'emes v'ha'sholoim ehovu. If you want to be zeiche that the tzoyim ha'revi'in, tzoyim ha'chamishi should become yomim toivim, there is a tnai. V'ho'emes v'ha'sholoim ehovu. And v'zis zenen de verte fir Reb Shloime HaKohen, the Dayan from Vilna, in one of his tshuvas, where he says Adover Mosuk on this posuk. We all know what Chazal say in Soif Maseches Nedorim. The Churban Bayis Rishon was because Shelo Yiborchu Batoire Tchile, Mo'aso Shel Toire. The Torah was not the priority by everybody. Dus hat gebrengt Chorben Bayis Rishon. Chorben Bayis Sheni, everybody remembers Divrei Chazal in Maseches Yume, is Chorev geworden wegen Sinas Chinom. Says Reb Shloime HaKohen, Tzoymo Revi v'Tzoymo Chamishi will become Lesosoin u'Lesimche. You know when? V'ho'emes, zog de Gemara in Perek Kamed Dibroches, ein emes elo teure, sh'ne'emar emes k'nei v'al timkoir, v'ho'emes teure, v'ha'sholoim, the tikkun of sinas chinom, ehovu, and then will be zoiche, that will be yomim toivim. And after we heard from each of the choshev and maspidim, azol chemoyre di keverter, which Hayid was zoiche in the short years of his lifetime, our achrayes and the ikir tachlis of their kinus is in these moments tzemachen ha'emese cheshben ha'nefesh, and to take upon ourselves a real kabbalah in everything that was mentioned and said, and through that be zoiche tzure emes v'asholei merovu. Obetaye rebride, erlob mir mamesh regoim ulai. Two nekudes, one in emes and one in sholem, which I was zoiche to learn and to see. Bader nifter zichroinoi livroche. Rashi in the parsha of Kriyashma, in parshas Be'ohavto, on the pasuk v'dibarto bom, one of the chiyuvim in psukim of limud haTorah for every yid, says Rashi, v'dibarto bom shelo yehei iker diburach elo bom. The iker dibur of a person should be only in divrei Torah. And Rashi finishes off, asem iker v'alta asem tofel. The chiyuv of v'dibarto bom is asem iker, make divrei Torah an ikor, ve'al tasem tofel, and it shouldn't be a tofel. I would like to share with the choshev ha'olam, because Chabzoyche gemein tzeirim fi ma'agroyse rebbe, The Havana, which is Negea to every Yid in Dei Rashi. We tend to teach the word Iker V'Tofel nicht in the richtige teach. Be'ashkofe Rishoyne, Iker means something important, and Tofel means a Sache, which is nicht important, nicht wichtig. It is not the richtige teach in Iker and Tofel. So what then is Iker and Tofel? If you just learned Parshas Matos Masei, and we all remember the Tviya in the Taina of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, as Rashi brings in the Parsha of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven, and Rashi says der Loshen, Chosim hoyu al momoinom yoiser mibneyem ubneiseyem shehikdimu mikneyem letapom. In the words to Moshe Rabbeinu, they first talked about what they're going to do with their mikne, and then what they're going to do with their children. Omar lohem Moshe loikein asu o iker iker vahatofel tofel. But in the Rashi, he do the yesoid finayid. Asu o iker iker vahatofel tofel. Ivusi der taich iker vetofel. The Rashi wird ins Mechaner gewein. If we learn Hilches Broches, and you know that when a person eats two ma'acholim, one ma'achol is Iker, and the other ma'achol is Atofel. He makes the brocha on the Iker, and the Iker patter the Tofel. When he eats those two ma'acholim, ask him. They're both very important to him. He wants both of them. And this gives him the geschmack in his achille. So it's not one is important, in the andere nicht wichtig, in the andere is not important. The word tofel means to be nischaber, to be nitfal, to be nimshach. Tofel is something which is nimshach and gets pulled by the Iker. That's the type of the word tofel. The Leben fin Ayid is Toile. Asu eso Iker Iker v'hatofel. And those other things are also very important. But they should become nitfal to the Iker. They should become nimshach to the Iker. They should be the tachlis for the Iker. But if we change around, and the Iker becomes nitfal to the other chelik, which is not the Iker, this was the time of Bnei God and Bnei Reuven. So where is it Negeya? In the daily mamish life of Ayit, De Verte Firashi in Parshas Masse, Chazal in Parshas Matris, Chazal in Medrash, explain it with a pasuk, Leiv Chochom Niyiminoi, V'leiv ksil lismoiloi. Zogin Chazal, Leiv chocham niyiminoi, Eilu eim atzadikim, Shehem noisnim libom latoire, Shehim yomim. Shenemar, Miyiminoi eish dos lomoi. V'leiv ksil lismoiloi, Eilu eim orishoim, Shehem noisnim libom lehashir, Shenemar, Bismaila oisher vechovoid. Hile ploim. Shenemar bismaila oisher vechovoid. Retmudach vein de teure akdoshe. So while they were showing, noisnim libom leashir, adusi der limit. A tzaddik is the person which inochinami, he has other asokim in life also. He has gashmi is dike asokim in life also. But all of those, at failing to the Iker, ale tachlis for avoidas Hashem, ale tachlis for Torah and mitzvahs, ale tachlis for the rotzen Hashem. And when the tofel is mitfal to the Iker, then everything becomes part of avoidas Hashem. Tzadikim, their leiv is la Torah, So everything they do is letachlis fader leiv latoyre. Reshoim zayre leiv is lehashir. So everything they do is only lehashir. When Rashi says in Parshas Bo Eschanan, asem ikor ve'altar sem tofel, doesn't mean how long a person learns. Obviously, everybody, what his chiyev is to learn. Over atzad ha'shove for every yidis, that the amount and the time that he has for Torah and mitzvahs in avodas Hashem, this should be the ikir, and everything around, everything else in his day, should be nitfal tzeder ikir, dusider leib in ha'yidin. After everything we heard of Reb Nosson Sholem Zichrone Levroche, I think at the Nekudef in Zahar Leibniz, he knew exactly, and he lived every minute. Asues o iker iker ve'esatofel tofel. As we heard, he had a family life. As we heard, but he knew every step of the way. Viz the iker, and to what everything had to be nitfal to. And du si der soit fin ayid, vus leip ni der emes, ve'o emes ba'asholei me'ovu. As Chazal tell us, as chorm beis amigdash is because, shelo iborchu ba'toire t'chile. If toire and mitzvahs and chesed in avodas Hashem is not priority, is not the ikir, avada it's a beautiful thing to do chesed. Avada eina kadosh bochu mekapeach schar kol berye. Aber wie der Leben von Ayid, in was macht Ayid, when he remembers, Leib chochom li yiminoi, in a mele, everything he does throughout the day, has that koyach, as a nitfal to the iker, and this was the life of Reb Nosson Sholem Zichrono Livroche. Ho emes v'asholoim ehovu, somebody that his name was Sholem. And as we heard, this gewaltige koyach fin Sholem and fin Ahavas Yisrael. And as was mentioned before already, that there's no mikre, the Shabbos Kodesh of Siftire, was Ptira Saharen HaKoyen. The Shloshim ended in the Yom of the Ptira fin Aharen HaKoyen. And as was mentioned already, the beautiful Pshat in Divrei Chazal, Hevei mitalmidov shel Aharon, oyev esabriyos umekorvon laTorah. But ula is kedai to hear and to know what the Tanya in his Sefer Perek Lamed Beis explains in this Mishnah, and through that realize how Reb Nosson Sholem came to such a madrege of oyev esabriyos. To a madrege, to have such an ahavas abriyes, fin azelche leider, musi nishva yeide reiner gering, to be able to really be margish, the emese ahavas Yisroel. The Tanya in his Sefer in Perek Lamed Beis says the following, Vehine, al yedei kiyum advorim anal, liyois gufoi nivze, ונימס בעינוב, רק שמחוסוי תהיה שמחס הנפש לבדו. הרי זו דרך ישורה וקלה, לובוי לידי קיום מצווס ואוהבתו לריחו כמויכו, לכל נפש מישראל, למיגודוי ועד קוטן. פרוס, כי מאחר שגופוי נימס ומסוע ואצלוי, והנפש והרוח, מי יודע גדולוסון ומעלוסון, בשורשון ומקוירון בליקים חיים, בשגם שכולו מסעימויס, ואב אחד לכולנו, ולכן, נקרו כל ישראל אחי ממש, מצד שורש נפשם, בהשם אחד, רק שהגופים חילוקים, ולכן, הועסים גופם איקר, ונפשם תפילה, אי אפשר ליאויס אהבו ואחבו אמיתיס ביניהם, אלו התלויו בדובור לבדו. says the Tanya Adovar Mifle, somebody who lives by Adeguf, in the Retzoynes Aguf, in the Chemdes Aguf, this is his life, can't come so easily to V'ahavta L'Reach Kamoicha, because every guf is different, and every guf has different Retzoynes, and the Sherosh HaDvorim is in Rabbeinu Yoyne, in the type of apostle, L'Taivo Yevakesh Nifrod. But somebody who lives by that the guf is a tofel to the neshama, and the ikir is the neshama, he sees right through every yid his neshama. And that's way you can open a home for every yid. And you can have in your house living, as I mentioned, which maybe is nicht as a gring that you can in a reinemen. But when the neshama is the ikir, then you zoiche to do it. The Tanya finishes off and says, this is the pshat in the Mishnah. Hine al ze omar hilel azokin. Hevei mitalmidov shel Aharon oyev sholem, oyev esabriyos umekarvon latoire. Loimar. She'af orechoikim mitoiras Hashem v'avoidosem. Velochein nikroim b'shem briyos be'alme. The only briyos. Tzurich lemoshchon. Bechavle avoisa isahavo, vekule hai veulai, yucha le korvon le toire vavoidas Hashem, vehein loy hifsid, schar mitzvahs ahavas reim. Explains the Tanya, at the koyach finder mishne, oye vesabrio isu me korvon la toire, if when a person comes to the akore, at the neshome dusi de iker, im imeila afile yener is leider in amatzev, where his rochek fin avidas Hashem mikoyach ala nisyoines v'sidu u'bifrat in the zman infinik v'sin the Meshiche, when he sees through right his neshome oye v'sabriyois u'mekor molatoire and nosen sholem, which his life was a neshome dikeleim, and the proof to it is he was zoiche in the last weeks and months of his life to be mezacher his guf mamesh kipshutoi, as we all witness it, and to be kol kula in the shomer. And everybody mentioned here, how are we able to say that everything is gewaldik, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is next to him, that everything is beautiful. Se poshut, amis kula in the shomer. The guf doesn't have yenemach, the neshomer doesn't have yenemachle. The guf has. The neshama doesn't have treatments. The neshama is a pure neshama. Achelek elekam imal. And this neshama dosi gevein zayin iker. And everything, the retzoynes in tzorche haguf, which he was busy with, but he understood. Asu eso iker iker, v'asa tofel tofel. And when the neshama is the iker, that's when you zoiche, sa'asher kidushonu b'kidushosoy shel Aharon. V'tzivonu levorech es amo Yisroel be'ahavon. This is kedushosa shel Aharon. And erloit mir mamish, just to show, and we dare to come to the Siyum HaDvorim, that in this parsha we learn this gevaldik limit. I was nisoirer moiredik, and it belongs to Kohanim to know about it. That if you look in kol ha'toyre kule, for the big toyach of Kohen Gadol, and you want to see where does it says the word Kohen Gadol, which this is the choshev that there is, you're not going to find Kohen Gadol in any place. One place in Parshas Emor, and if you watch on the tropen of the Torah Akdoshe, it doesn't even go together. You line it in the Torah VaHaKohen. HaGodel Me'echov Asher Yutzak Al Roishoy. That Kohen Godel together is only in the Torah, in Parshas Masei, three times, where when a Roitzeach Bishgoge has to run to Ore Miklot to be saved of the Goyel Adom, which has the right Al Pitoire to kill him in Ein Lo Idomim, he sits there at Mois HaKohen HaGodel. Lomazach misbeinazam. The Torah HaKadoshe took the Heiligste Vesidu, a Kohen Gadol. And only in this parsha the word Kohen Gadol is mentioned. and put him together for the achrayes of the nidrigste mensch musidu. And this is our tzeach bishgoge, where the goyel adom has a right to kill him. But admois ha-kohen ha-godl in the miklot, the kohen godl saves him, and the kohen godl watches over him. This is the koyach and the kedusha in ha-kohen godl. But this is the koyach in ha-kohen godl to see through the neshama of Ayid. And when you see through the neshama of Ayid, you have the koyach to save him in ala matzovim of ala ifanim. And this is what we learn in this parsha. Mimele oyev esabriyo isu mekarvu la-toyrem. This is the koyach of Aharon ha-kohen. And this is the koyach fin kdushosoy shel Aharon. V'tzivonu levorech es amo Yisroel be'ahavo. And if we gather here tonight, le'ilu nishmosoy fin nosn sholoim ha-kohen, zichroyne livroche, ben yibodlu lechaim toivim, zanetayre eltern sheichyu. And you want to do something, le'ilu nishmosoy, beit mezech tayre brider, it's time to come to the akore. Ho emes ve'asholoim ehovu, asu ho iker iker ve'atofel tofel. The Rebbein Shalom grants us everything in this world. Bamed vorim amurim. If we live by the ayid daflevim, where is our ikir? Tfile teire mitzvahs chesed. And to that should be nitfal ale andere inyonim fin doilem hazeh. And then leit me vi ayid daflevim. Ve'asholoi me'ovu. Kiken of ayid mit sholoi. Kiken of ayid mit zayin neshomer. Kicken auf Ayid zu wissen, wo er ist, oyeve sabriyes und mekorm la teure. This is the Yerusha that Rav Noshan Sholem leaves over for everybody, for every chelek and every chaver of this chabura and for all of us. And let's remember that in the finishing of Parshas Matos, there's a posuk about Noivach who went and he built a city. And he called the city Noivach Bishmoy. And we all remember where Rashi says, Bishem Chazal, that the hay of the law of Noivach doesn't have a dogish. And Rashi explains, because this city didn't have no kiyum. Reb Shamshon Rafael Hirsch, in Zahar Peresh of Chumash, says, as in der verte ridu ha-moire diketoy choche, to learn a lesson. What do we live over in this world? Tom Retzach einer Menschen, as Binyonim, Palatzen, Menschens, this is what we live over. Du sottisch kakium bichlau. Wus lost a Mensch iber, a solche emes vesholem eovu. Ez Rab Nosser Sholem wa zoiche. Dus iber zelozen, a solche divre hespet, a solche musorim, a solche yisoyrim. This is what a person has to make sure to live over in this world. And that, the Iker Iker and the Tofel Tofel, the Derech Gemes, the hay of the law, you can live a life of a sefelder pintle, sefelder nekude, sefelder tachlis, lot me go nisht iber. This is the message of Rav Nosson Sholem, Zecher Tzadik Livroche. And this is our achrayes to be mekabel, and through that to hope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that will be zoyche tzoyim orevi v'tzoyim achamishi yiyeh lebeis Yehuda lemayadim toivim lesosen ulesimcha lemayadim toivim. But let's remember ho emes v'asholoim ehovu. Through those two kabbalas will be zoyche tzedei gevaldikim toivim. The Rabbi Shter zol elfen. Der Rav Nosson Sholem von seiner lechtigen Platz in Gan Eden שביא ימי ליציישר בראשו ובראשונו פתיבודה לחיים טובים כסחושה וחושה ובני בייס. As mentioned before, and we all witnessed it, as she was mosor mamish in ganzen for everything he needed, aber ube yoyser, and she was the example. And she is Baruch Hashem weiter the example to show wussi der Iker in Leben, wussi der Tofen in Leben. And the Reb Shter Zoli geben gewaltige Keuches to be able to continue to be beroish of this beautiful mishpoche, to hoben gewaltige nachas from teire, teire kinder, kol echad ve'echad b'shmei atoi ve'voiroch, bonim uv'nevonim, oiskim b'atoiro uv'amitzvois, gesintheit. Rav Nosi Sholem Shubi Emelitzioyshe, fazane teire, choshe ve're'eltern, Rav Yudo b'nei Beisoi, zon zayin gesinti stark, the Rabbi Shem should give them the courage to continue their gewaltige emune pshute and their gewaltige chizek ba'akodesh boruchu for the ganze mishpoche, amelitzioyshe for alle zane teire brides, amelitzioyshe for zane teire lechtige kinder. If you heard the beautiful words just now, they should be zeuche each one to be matzliach and to continue to take their limud in their leben, for wissen wusset de iker, wusset de tofel, and the melitzioyser for all of us, for the ganze chabure, shel yishama oid shoid v'shever b'gvoleinu, shebizoyche only to hear bam klal Yisroel, only besures toivos, in al yedei ze, at mezoyche zayn, at it takes only saper ver on the sosen le simche, זויכה זן צהובילה המובס לנצח ומוכו השם אליקים דימו מעל קופונים וחרפס עמו יוסיר במהירו ויומנו אומן ואומן.